And so, Palm Sunday. Is this just a well-known story before the important events of Holy Week? So this is not terribly important, but the rest of Holy Week is that actually the situation? No, it's not. It's actually a very important day. Very important events took place on this day. This riding into Jerusalem was a very important journey, a short journey, but a journey of Jesus. Very important, full of meaning. First of all, it was a royal entry. If anyone says anything to you, says Matthew, Jesus is quoted in Matthew, say that the Lord needs them and he will send them right away. So Jesus has said, go and get a donkey. And if anyone says, what are you doing? Say, the Lord needs it. And so here is the sort of royal prerogative being exercised. He could actually say that, and presumably where they went, there would be someone who knew about Jesus or believed in Jesus. And so there's this sort of royal flavour that is almost commanding that he has the donkey. Not quite, but it's something along those lines. And then you need to remember, a donkey may not look very much like a royal animal nowadays. But it was in those days. Before the horse took over, as it were, a donkey could well be ridden by a king. And so David rode a mule, actually, which seems even more odd. But it was a royal animal, or at least it could be a royal animal. It was fit, it was, you know, the Rolls Royce of the time, so to speak. And so there was a royal meaning to it. And also it's interesting that it was an unused animal, the passage says. And that means it was fit for religious purpose. Because one of the things, they obviously had animal sacrifices and so on in the Old Testament, and one of the conditions was that the animal was unused, obviously an unblemished as well. And so you've got this sort of emphasis on royalty and a special religious occasion. All of this symbolism comes out. It's not necessarily obvious to us 2,000 years later. And the crowds put their cloaks on the ground, which again, they would do for royalty. So Walter Raleigh and all the rest of it. Put your cloak down so that the queen or the king can walk over it, or in this case, ride over it. So this was a royal entry into Jerusalem. And everybody would recognize what was going on. And maybe now we begin to see it ourselves. Secondly, it was a messianic entry into Jerusalem. He was claiming to be the son of David. Now, David had many sons, but the son of David, the title, was actually, this is about the Messiah who's coming. And they were expecting him to come. I was reading in the paper only this week about some very conservative Jews in Jerusalem, very close to Temple Mount, but not on it. Might have started World War III if they'd done it on it. They actually sacrificed a Passover lamb. And they were praying for the Messiah to come. So they're still doing it in Jerusalem. Some are, anyway. And so he was coming in. He was a son of David. And this title comes out. Hosanna to the son of David. He is the Messiah. And then thirdly, it was a humble entry to Jerusalem. Yes, it was royal. Yes, it was messianic. But it was also humble. This took place, says Matthew, to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So a donkey was also a symbol of lowliness, of peace, and humility. So there was a sort of combination, a contrast in the donkey. Yes, it could be ridden by the king, but it was also an animal which represented lowliness, humility, and peace. And so you have the combination there as well. And so he wasn't coming in as a warrior, the warrior king, you know, sword in hand or spear in hand or whatever it was. He was coming in peace and humility. And the branches, now we've just got leaves, palm leaves this morning in our palm crosses, but the branches were laid down for the returning warrior who had just won a battle, he defeated the enemy, and he would come back, and they put the palm leaves down. You see, they were misunderstanding who Jesus was, and what his attitude was, and what sort of Messiah he was. They were laying down these palm leaves, so that he came as the great political Messiah. That's what many of them expected. He would be a great political leader. He would lead them against the Romans, throw off the yoke of the Romans, and Israel would be free. That is what they were expecting. So I've already moved on to this fourth point, and it's actually my final point, but don't get too excited because it's slightly longer than the other one. This was a misunderstood entry into Jerusalem. Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna, it has a double meaning. It means literally save, save now. Hosanna. But it was also an expression of praise. So it was both a prayer and praise was Hosanna. So if you said Hosanna to Jesus, you were asking him to save, but you're also praising him using that word Hosanna. And then, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Quoting from the psalm we just had read to us, Psalm 118. And that was recited at festivals, that psalm. And so this was a great festival that they were sort of quoting, because this great mighty king was coming in, this warrior king, this great Messiah who's going to lead them against the Romans, or so they thought. And they said, Hosanna in the highest. They invoke the heavenly host to say Hosanna. And then it says, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? It's easy to miss this, but the people of Jerusalem, by and large, didn't know who Jesus was. He'd been there, but he was better known in Galilee. So probably the crowds that lay down their cloaks and their leaves, because they're all coming together for the Passover, and thousands of them will come to the Passover, probably they came from Galilee, where Jesus was very well known. So you've got the Galileans outside the city, and then there's a Jerusalem wondering, what on earth is all this about? And who is he anyway? Now this is the sort of reaction that they gave. So he was unknown to Jerusalem. Who is this? And the crowds, probably Galileans, answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. He comes from our area, up north. And even the disciples didn't understand what sort of Messiah he was going to be. I'm pretty sure they didn't expect him to be a great political leader, but they didn't really understand. They couldn't cope with the idea that he was going to die. So that was certainly beyond them. It's easy for us. We know all about it. But if we'd have been in their place, we'd have been the same as they were. And they didn't understand. But what is the background to this day and this week? I get really switched on about this. Here we have the awesome, eternal Son of God. He's existed for all eternity. He is fully divine. He is the one through whom the universe, with all its vastness, was created. He was the one who ran and runs the universe by his word. He just speaks to it and it obeys, so to speak. This great, mighty, awesome, eternal Son of God, worshipped in heaven for all eternity. Mind-boggling. We can't take it in. We can only begin to understand it. Yet he came into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. Yes, there was something special about that, but also he came in great humility. And the people of Jerusalem, the holy city, said, who is he? And the Galileans, they didn't know really who he was. They just knew his name and where he came from, and he did great miracles and all the rest of it. So they were quite positive. And he started a week where he was rejected. Now just imagine it's you. Everybody rejects you. Have you ever felt like that? Sure, you have felt rejected at times. Well, just imagine that all of us this morning just turned against you and rejected you. He was rejected. This is the awesome Son of God, incarnate. and he was beaten. How would you like to be beaten with sticks and so on? I sometimes think we think of the cross and we forget an awful lot led up to the cross. The cross was awful, terrible, horrible. But there were horrible things also that happened beforehand. He was punched. The soldiers punched him. And he was spat upon. How would you like that? He was spat upon. The awesome Son of God. He was mocked. They were sending him up. They were making fun of him. The awesome Son of God. Alive for all eternity. Worshipped by the host of heaven for all eternity. Creator of the universe. Sustainer of the universe. They spat on him and made fun of him. But the wonderful thing is he allowed it to happen. That is mind-boggling. That's the other side of God. I've talked about his greatness. Well, a huge aspect of his greatness is he is love. And he allowed himself to go through that. And then he was crucified. Can you imagine the nails going through your hands, wrists, feet or ankles? And hung there, still being mocked. Come down if you're the Son of God, you know. And then the one who had dwelt in heaven for all eternity went through hell. That is mind-boggling. I think I've said this to you before, but how on earth can God go through hell? Because hell is the absence of God. Hang on a minute, it's doing my brain. Well, God can do that. And the worst thing of all wasn't the spitting and the mocking. It was, my God, why have you forsaken me? My God, why have you forsaken me? That was when he hit the depths. This awesome Son of God, perfect, worshipped by the host of heaven for all eternity, creator and sustainer of the universe, is crying out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? And so this day is the introduction to all that as he comes into Jerusalem. And so in finishing, do we show humility? Oh, we can be so self-seeking. If we're not careful, we human beings. Are we self-seeking? I've thought recently, is this my church? I mean, I could say accurately it's my church in one sense because I've been licensed to lead it. But it's not my church, for goodness sake. It's not yours either. even if you've been here for 100 years, it's not yours, it's his. And do we show humility? Do we embrace the suffering that the Lord allows in our lives? You know, frankly, Patricia and I have gone through some real difficulties. That sounds like between the two of us. I don't mean that at all. But we have together faced some tremendous difficulties in the last year. But then, even when you think of what our brothers and sisters are experiencing in many, many countries of the world, how they're being rejected, how they're being beaten, how they're being tortured, how they're being put in prison, how they actually sometimes are being killed, then you think, well, my big problems are tiny ones. But when you compare it with what Jesus experienced, they're almost irrelevant because of all that he experienced. And so God does sometimes allow suffering in our lives. You may have noticed, it does happen. And do we actually embrace suffering for the Lord's sake? Are we prepared to talk about our faith and people think we're nutcases and make jokes about us? As in the news only this week, people don't joke so much now about race and sex or gender because that's all politically incorrect. What they've started doing far more is joking about religion, sending religious people up. Are we prepared? I mean, that's peanuts really, but it's upsetting, isn't it? If someone mocks you, I mean nastily mocks you about your faith, are we prepared to put up with that? Well, Jesus put up with far, far worse than that. Are we prepared to put up with rejection, with insult? And do we love the one who went through all this for us? I don't care whether you're an Anglican, a Pentecostal, or a Christian from out of Pongo land, that's irrelevant. Do you love Jesus? I don't care how long you've been a church member here or elsewhere. That's not terribly important. But do you love Jesus? I'm asking each one of you to ask that question of yourself. Do you love Jesus? And if you do, could you love him more? The answer to that is yes. That goes for me as well. Do you love him? The one who suffered the ultimate humiliation for you. The one who was rejected, beaten, punched, spat upon, mocked, and crucified for you and for me. Do you love him? The one who cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Do you know what? I could answer that question, and I could say because of Tony Higton. But I could also say it with your name as well. Because he did it. He was God forsaken, however mind-boggling that is, for you and me. So I ask again, do you really love Jesus? That's what it's about. Loving him, trusting him, and serving him. I hope you do. And what better time to go deeper in loving Jesus than the beginning of Holy Week. Let's go for it, brothers and sisters. Let's be those who love Jesus and will put up with the rejection and the mockery and the insult and whatever else happens because we love Jesus. Father, we pray that you'll help us to remember the terrible things that happened to Jesus during Holy Week. Lord, we're so familiar with them that maybe we don't sometimes fully take them on board emotionally and spiritually. Help us to go deeper this year, Lord. And above all, Lord, may we love him back for his immense love for us. May we be those who are known to love Jesus. Yes, to love our neighbour as well, that's very important. But primarily, those who love Jesus. We ask it in his name. Amen.